flat line. I just wanna flat line. Maybe this is all my fault. But I just wanna flat line. I just wanna flat line. Maybe we going too far.
What is up, everybody? Garrett and
Joel.
Back with our 7th, 8th ish.
No, so. I have no idea.
Yeah, we're somewhere around there.
The one following show prep.
No. Yeah, so we're back. It's been a little bit. We have a New Year's resolution between us to be a little bit more frequent with these. We had an original goal of a Monday release, once a week, every week.
Yeah, that was...
That has since lapsed, but we're going to try to get back into it. We should both be getting consistent schedules that should line up okay pretty soon.
Yeah, the holidays were kind of a rough time, and it was really easy to just, you know, say we're going to do it, and we just slowly kept putting things off over and over. And that, not even just with the podcast, but of other things in life, with Flatline and life in general.
Right, yeah. So, as you could see from the title of the podcast you just clicked on, we were talking about caffeine, stimulants, cortisol, and your brain, all that good stuff today. So, we're going to dive into that.
Yeah, definitely a new approach today. I feel like... this is more than just health and fitness. It's more of just life in general. Yeah. Just because I feel like the majority of the world just uses caffeine.
Who do you know? Yeah. How many people do you know out there that don't use caffeine?
It's pretty rare.
Yeah. Most people are.
You know, every once in a while, I'll get some zealots that are, you know, like, oh no, I don't drink coffee, or no, I don't take caffeine, or
right,
anything like that. Just because I feel like is a real negative, like, hurdle around caffeine, and you know, I feel like that's just because maybe they're not educated on it, or they don't know the effects of caffeine to itself as a whole.
Right, so we're going to try to shed some light on to and all that good stuff as far as caffeine and other stimulants, their effects in your brain, your body, whatnot, as well as how it pertains to training and fitness, because at the end of the day, we are flatline.
Exactly,
fitness,
that's what we're here for.
We'll get there.
So, would you like to talk about caffeine or cortisol first? I mean,
Let's go with caffeine first,
caffeine.
And we can then lead into how it pertains to cortisol.
So, you know, caffeine in general, it's probably the most common drug out on the market. You'll hear that.
Oh, it is. It is the most common drug on the market, yeah.
It's an extremely powerful stimulant, and any time that you consume caffeine... it also falls under the topic of nootropics. I feel like that's kind of a new category of supplements. Anything pertaining to effects on the brain and neurons and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it mainly works to inhibit adenosine receptors. So adenosine is actually kind of what is activated when we start to feel tired or a little bit more fatigued. Caffeine inhibits the activation of adenosine receptors, and in that case, you know, we have things like improved mood, more energy, you know, more power output for things like performance. You know, when people are studying for an exam, they can think better. There's a lot at play when something like that is inhibited, you know.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, caffeine's got a lot of positive, negative side effects that I'm sure everybody's heard out there, you know, whether it's on the negative side, jitters and sleeplessness, increased heart rate,
blood pressure.
Yeah, that's blood huge. Pressure, headache, nervousness, to the more positive side effects that you tend to look for with consuming caffeine, which is your increased mental alertness and increased central nervous system activity, as well as some side effects that a lot of people don't know about, which is increased lipolysis and free fatty acid utilization.
It does help you to burn fat a little bit.
It can
be touted a little over the board on that.
It has, but I'd say, just small, the word small here.
It's
thermogenic effects.
Let's say if you were to take it over and over, it could, you know, have some effects. That's why you see it in things like pre-workouts and fat burners and stuff, too.
Right. But I mean, speaking of taking it over and over again, what are we looking at for... how much you should have a day.
We might be looking at some pretty interesting stats there. So as far as, like, dosage per day, there's a wide range of intakes. Toxicity is actually really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
Most people will hear some caffeine intakes and be like, whoa, that's, like, dangerous. it doesn't really become dangerous until you're, you know, crossing 1,500 megs to maybe 2 grams of caffeine.
That's where you get into the, you know, the really toxic stuff. Yeah.
However, if someone's keeping their intake below 500 milligrams per day, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
No, that's pretty on par with the FDA's. As of 2013, their recommendation for caffeine intake was under 400 milligrams of caffeine a day, which is
actually still quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's approximately 4 to 5 cups of coffee a day, which that's how much you can, the average adult can, according to the FDA, safely intake per day. But that's not sustainable.
That's also a very conservative number, in my opinion.
I think so. But even 400, 500 milligrams a day.
Rarely do you have that much.
Yeah, and just because it's safe, that doesn't mean it's sustainable.
Just because it's safe, like, there's not going to be enough data out there for us to understand what could possibly happen if that's to be compounded over and over time. Like, so let's just say you had a month to 2 months of just, you know, 500 milligrams to, say, maybe a gram of caffeine per day. We don't really know exactly what could be happening with something even longer than that, like, say, a year.
Right.
If, you know, a month, 2 months, we can look at data and stuff for that and say, like, oh, you know, maybe there's some cortisol responses, maybe some brief boost in testosterone. But what are the long-term side effects? And I think that would be really, really interesting to have some case studies that have, like, you know, maybe 5 to 10 years of
study
data.
Long-term. Most of the studies that I looked at, nothing was over maybe 2 weeks as far as their data collection went. With steady caffeine intake, a high caffeine intake for that amount of time, you're still going to achieve, it's called tachyphylaxis, which is just a diminished response to the caffeine over time, just being used to that high consumption. But there's not a lot of data out there as far as the real long-term effects go, months and a year or so.
There are people
that
have their lifestyles revolving around caffeine. Yeah, you know, you got busy business workers. Mm-hmm. You got the late-night workers, you know, that are working overnight. You've got early risers that have maybe 12-hour shifts, or maybe construction workers that get tired on the job. You have a large population that takes caffeine over and over in their daily lives, and what is to say that they did that for, you know, 10, 20 years? It's really, really hard to put that as a measurable statistic or even know what could happen.
Yeah, and I mean, it's weird because, I mean, caffeine is a natural substance. It's found in nature, which, I mean, they can engineer it.
Yeah, they can synthesize it, and the most common is going to be caffeine anhydrous.
Right.
And that's what you're going to see on things like pre-workout supplements and energy drinks. It's most quickly absorbed into your body, and it really hits you like a freight train, especially if you have nothing in your stomach.
Exactly, yeah. Anything from that methyl xanthine group, which caffeine falls into, which is found in naturally in teas, coffee beans, chocolate, anything belonging to that group, it's going to have those kind of effects for sure.
So as far as caffeine, I love my caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
I have caffeine daily. There are a couple of days where I might go without caffeine, but I definitely wouldn't say that I'm to the point of where I'm dependent on caffeine. My caffeine intake's roughly between 400 and 500 a day. There are days where it's close to 800 megs, but I try to stay below a gram regardless. I don't know if I've ever gone above a gram.
I would never recommend that to anybody.
I wouldn't recommend going above a gram, but you can if you say, like, for instance, I had a wedding weekend last weekend. I had 3 bang drinks in a day.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a bit. I don't think I'll be doing that again for a while, but I was also on 3 hours of sleep for 2 days in a row, and that was ridiculous. I remember just wanting to pass out, and I think one of the most interesting things is when you've had such a high caffeine intake for so long, and you take it out, that crash.
Right.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely crazy. And you can get that from pre-workout, too.
Yes, you can.
The pre-workout crash is really, really common.
Yes.
The higher that dose of caffeine is and the quicker it absorbed it is, the faster that crash is going to hit you. And that can, I think, affect things like daily life and, you know, getting to the gym, to be honest.
Right. No,
especially if you're tired.
I agree. I mean, caffeine's got a lot of different effects on the brain there. And I think we need to dive into that a little bit. So caffeine, it increases, has a tendency to increase almost all signals throughout your brain. It inhibits the enzymatic degradation of cyclic adenosine monophosphate within those postsynaptic cells of the brain.
I love it when you speak science.
Thanks, I know, I try. So yeah, and the presence of that caffeine increases the strength of the transmitted signals within the neurons. So my question is, does it increase all signals, like stress signal, all your stress signals, or even your positive signals that it can increase? Because caffeine does increase serotonin levels in the brain, which, I mean, serotonin is your feel-good.
Yep.
Your feel-good hormone. So is it increasing those outputs as well as your negative ones, because it's increasing cortisol as well?
Yep.
So is it is it making you feel good at the same time? Is it making you feel stressed?
I know, it's pretty crazy. The effect that caffeine has on just your adrenals in general.
Oh, yeah.
If you go look at biomarkers for all adrenals, literally every single one is going to be heightened from caffeine. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And then the fact that you're talking about things like serotonin and dopamine, you know, those inhibit things like sleep cycles. Say if you were to have too much caffeine, maybe our circadian rhythm could get out of whack. I was looking at a study and it showed that up to 80 minutes could be thrown off of a circadian rhythm, which doesn't sound like a whole lot, but that's close to about an hour and a half where your sleep and getting awake cycle is going to be kind of thrown off. And let's just say if you were to get to work an hour and a half late, you know, that'd be pretty crazy. And just to say, you know, normal sleep, so let's say 8 hours. If you started dropping that to 6.5 each night, that's a pretty big difference, especially if you did 7 times 1.5. What is that, like 10.5 hours of sleep in a week?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty drastic. That's a whole night's of sleep.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So, you know, that's a really good question that you just posed. I feel like there's a lot that we still don't know about caffeine. There's so much information out there and so many studies looking at caffeine.
I agree.
But yeah. I feel like we could look at biomarkers for so many different hormones, and I think it would just, I have yet to see something that's severely inhibited, especially, I mean, the only thing that I've looked at is things like inhibition of adenosine, but that's about it.
Right. I mean, a lot of the studies I looked at showed all these positive effects of caffeine. They're observational studies looking at how people felt after they were given doses of caffeine. And all these studies pretty much say the same thing. The people.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, they basically said
you start cycling through studies, and you're like, boom, boom, boom. It's like they all say the same thing.
Basically, yeah. What I have highlighted here is my one highlighted note at the end of like these three studies, because they all basically said the same thing: caffeine elevates mood and relieved their anxiety. Of all these subjects that they tested, it elevated their mood, decreased their risk of cognitive failures, and relieved anxiety. But we know for a fact that caffeine increases cortisol.
Yeah, which is...
which is your stress hormone.
It seems so counterintuitive.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jinx?
I know. Well, how can a substance make you feel good at the same time as releasing your stress hormone? It kind of baffles me. I could find no data out there explaining that at all. I don't know if it has anything to do with the serotonin release in conjunction with the cortisol release. Because, I mean, as we know, cortisol is a catabolic hormone. It's your stress hormone.
Oh, yeah. By the way, guys, when we talk about cortisol, it is your stress hormone.
Yes.
That's a general statement. Most people know what cortisol is, but in general, cortisol is your stress hormone.
Synthesized from cholesterol and the adrenal cortex. It's a glucocorticoid hormone. It's really high in the mornings.
Yep.
And
it really, really affects circadian rhythm.
It does,
waking up.
It's so your cortisol is high in the mornings and after fasting, and it slowly decreases throughout the day. So that's why, like I've said in the past before, that it's best to work out in the evenings because your cortisol levels are lower, which leaves your... because cortisol is a catabolic hormone, which we don't want to be catabolic if we're trying to put on muscle and going anabolic. So it's really working out in the mornings, high cortisol levels. You're not really giving yourself the best opportunity to lose weight or put on muscle, right? So it just kind of, it's really interesting to me that caffeine is increasing cortisol. We use it for a pre-workout, you know, and use it every day to make ourselves feel better.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's a 2012 study by Cook et al. They looked at morning supplementation of caffeine in athletes, and they were able to see that, you know, they had the same work output if, say, that an athlete was sleep-deprived and was supplemented with caffeine than, the, say, an individual athlete that had great sleep but no caffeine. So they were able to test, and they actually had protocol for people being sleep-deprived overnight and then supplemented with caffeine at 4 milligrams per kilogram, which is a pretty good dose. So for a 150-pound male, that's roughly 300 milligrams in a dose, which will hit you pretty quick, especially in supplemental form.
Right.
So they were able to see that if they had caffeine taken in the morning, that their work output was matching the athletes that had perfect sleep throughout the night. But that just kind of messes with my head a little bit when we notice that cortisol is highest in the morning, right?
Right.
You know, cortisol helps us to wake up. It's going to be highest in the morning. We know that caffeine actually raises cortisol a little bit in the morning, or in general. So what could be the possible adaptations of blood concentrations of cortisol, especially if they're taking caffeine in the morning with working out? Because working out in itself is a stressor.
Right, yeah. It's just a physical stressor as opposed to a mental stressor.
But what's really interesting is they were able to actually test for total cortisol concentrations, and it was a very, very minor increase in cortisol.
I think did they do cortisol testing through saliva? Or
yeah, it was through saliva, okay. Which, I mean, it's an okay test. That's but it was about 4%. That's not huge, especially when the regular cortisol levels of the athletes getting good sleep, I think it was like I think 1% to 2%, because they put them all on a program that was brand new, working them out in the morning. Well, you know, of course they had just a slight cortisol increase just because someone was working out. There was only about a 4% increase in the ones taking caffeine in the morning.
Interesting.
I know. Because that's kind of like, I know, what can we take away from that? What we can take away from that is that caffeine does help to increase work capacity and strengthen the gym, even on less sleep.
Right.
So if someone is, you know, if they're sleep deprived and they need to really kill a workout, caffeine's going to help you. Absolutely. But I wouldn't put that in your schedule.
Here's my question to pose. If we're using caffeine in our pre-workouts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Before we're going through a physiological stressor, like exercise is, to help us achieve greater performance in the gym and then hopefully produce greater muscle hypertrophy, why are we using something that is going to increase our cortisol levels at the same time? Because I looked at a study that showed that while we're under stress, caffeine on top of that stress increases the cortisol levels monumentally.
Yeah.
And so it kind of throws me off that we're using this product as a pre-workout to help us increase our performance while it's producing a hormone that then decreases our performance.
So my counter argument to that is, you know, exercise in general is a stressor.
Right.
However, we can recover from that stressor.
Right. My only thought too is that the cortisol level might be so, or the cortisol increase might be so acute during the workout that it has no effect whatsoever. And that's kind of what my assumption is.
So there's actually a study in 2008 by Beaven et al. They looked at different dosages of caffeine pre-workout for athletes, and they had them either take 200 milligrams, 400 milligrams, 600 milligrams, or 800 milligrams.
In one dose
pre-workout.
Goodness.
Okay. What they were able to see is that 800 milligrams actually had the highest total work capacity out of all the athletes. 800 milligrams. That's pretty cool. You know, they were able to see that the higher the dose went, the more and more that total work capacity went up, which is great. what they were able to see is that that 800 milligram group also had the highest raise in cortisol over time. The 600 milligram group did not have a significant raise in cortisol.
The 600 milligram?
The 600 milligram and below. All everything below that.
So is there, did they say that there's basically like a threshold?
So that's what they were kind of insinuating, was that if you cross above a certain amount of, say, milligrams per kilogram,
mm-hmm.
you might have some diminishing results over time. However, okay. acutely, it could be very potent.
Now, did they say it all in that study if how long the cortisol response was as a... I just didn't know if it had like a severely prolonged cortisol response as opposed to the 600 or 400 groups.
They just basically looked at the cortisol stats of the 200 to 600 milligram groups and said that it was statistically insignificant.
Right.
The 800 milligram group was about a 22% raise in cortisol, which at that point is pretty significant.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the P number whenever we're looking at studies where it's like P is greater than?
Greater than.
Yeah, such and such.
Blank, blank.
The number was only significant in the 800 milligram group. Really? That's what they were able to see.
That's nice, yeah.
So I think what that does show is that higher doses of caffeine can be tolerated better by someone like athletes or someone who's working out over and over. Or someone who is maybe jogs in the morning. Mm-hmm. Someone who's actually going to be...
Physically active
and has an outlet right. for that possible yeah. neurotransmission that caffeine yeah. can help.
And I think it definitely affects the speed in which you're uptaking the caffeine and then...
And then there's things
burning
like,
through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Your finger quotes.
And burning through it even though technically it's not a nutrient. But I know what you mean.
So what about like the... people that aren't, that just have caffeine in the morning to get started, and they're not going to work now. They're just going and starting their day.
I think it depends on how long that person has been, consuming caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
How much sleep did they get? What is their daily life? I think after all those answers are given, we're able to maybe say, hey, you should cycle off of caffeine for a little bit. Just because there's data to show that 5 to 7 days of cycling off of caffeine can resensitize you to caffeine.
Right.
Which is, I do that every once in a while.
Do we know if it resets you back to, like, absolute baseline? Like, you'd never have caffeine before
It would not be baseline. Okay. It would be just a relative decrease to...
where you were before.
Exactly. Okay. There are going to be different people that respond differently. Even from the first time that you take caffeine, some mm-hmm. people are going to respond differently. I know people that they take 150 milligrams and they're stoked. They're ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it takes at least 250, 300 milligrams for me to, feel caffeine mm-hmm. kind of thing. So I think that's kind of hard to maybe get a gauge on that certain right. number or to pull stats from that?
Yeah, so like if you're... I looked at a study that had participants go through exercise so they could track cortisol responses to caffeine, and then they had participants not participate in exercise, just go through their everyday, but they instead of physical stress, they applied mental stress to... these participants, and the mental stress over time elicited a much longer and larger cortisol response to caffeine than the physiological stress. So the people that were working out had a much more greatly diminished cortisol response as opposed to those who were just subjected to mental stress. Like just they were, I think they suggested it to kind of somewhat difficult, just arithmetic. It made them do some math.
Oh yeah, just made them think.
It made them do math, like timed math questions.
Mm-hmm.
And these people really elicited a severely increased cortisol response when compared to the people that were just going under physical stress.
Really, That's interesting. I think the effects of caffeine and cortisol. I think there's definitely something there, but it's extremely conditional. And to be honest, that goes with everything in health and fitness. So start asking yourself questions about your daily life, whether or not you feel like you're dependent on caffeine. Do you feel like it takes away from your life if you don't have caffeine? And how long you've been taking it? There are some ingredients that can kind of be paired with caffeine to mitigate things like stress response. There are ingredients like ashwagandha, L-tyrosine, L-theanine, and then there are things like theacrine that are all found in supplemental form that can actually pair really, really well with caffeine. You know, ashwagandha is a root. You know, Garrett was telling me earlier, he know, what was it, Indian ginseng?
I know about Indian ginseng, yeah, but they're basically the same thing.
Basically, it's an herb, and it shows a lot of really, really good data at reducing things like stress, what's your response to nutrient partitioning. It can actually lower things like LDL cholesterol, improve physical performance, which actually blows my mind a little bit, in both sedentary people and athletes, which I think has to do with the fact that they're able to have reduced stress. They're also looking at things like Alzheimer's, like looking at research and improving Alzheimer's. Ashwagandha is going to be pretty good. I like it in a 300 to 500 milligram dosage. I think if you go above that, that's just kind of like a safety barrier. I think it would be interesting for data to come out that supports ashwagandha and caffeine in certain control groups. And then there are things like L-theanine. I said L-tyrosine. L-tyrosine is a different amino acid molecule that is plays a role in, you know, feel good, you know, noradrenaline and dopamine. However, there's kind of some lacking research on it. It's in a lot of pre-workouts, and it falls under the nootropic realm of sensitization to neurons. However, you need a really high dose, like 150 milligrams per kilogram, which, oh man, if I'm thinking of how much someone weighs, we're talking like 5 to 6 gram dosages of L-tyrosine. And when you look at things like supplements and pre-workouts, L-tyrosine's like a gram, which is a fifth of what you might need.
Right.
And then there's things like theacrine. I actually wrote an article on theacrine a while back for MyProtein, and I actually alluded to that a little bit before we started recording. I was pretty upset that they took my name off of the article.
Yeah, not giving you any credit, man.
That's pretty disappointing. I mean, yeah, I wrote it 2 years ago, but I kind of wish that my name was still on it. Anyway, theacrine is very, very close to the same alkaloid molecule that caffeine is. The only difference is that on the 9-carbon, there's an additional ketone group, and there's an additional methyl group on the 9-carbon. The thing is with theacrine is there's not a whole lot of research on it. There is one significant study that came out that pairing theacrine with caffeine helps to not inhibit caffeine's effects. So say you paired 100 milligrams of theacrine with 200 milligrams of caffeine.
So does it therefore increase caffeine's effects?
Yes. It's also shown that since it's also a stimulant like caffeine, it has twice the potency of caffeine. So if you wanted to have the response of possibly 300 milligrams of caffeine, you would only need like 150 grams of theacrine. That's a really interesting molecule and supplement that I'd like to see studied more, and I think that that's where a lot of research is going right now. Over time, I think it'd be cool to... I started doing this for a little bit. I started getting theacrine in like bulk raw form and started adding it to pre-workout. I loved it. I felt like I had a little bit more sustained release and I didn't have to take as much caffeine pre-workout. And I don't know. I swear by theacrine, but I don't think it's necessarily necessary. Some of the ingredients I just went over, I think it'd be cool for y'all to like start pairing ingredients that have a little bit more research behind it. Oh, and then there's L-theanine, which is also another active ingredient in things like green tea. If you were to supplement with L-theanine, it is another ingredient that pairs really, really well with caffeine. Kind of has the same effect that theacrine does with caffeine.
Is it as pronounced?
Huh?
Is it as pronounced as theacrine?
It has more research behind it.
Okay.
So. The effects were more pronounced in the study that theacrine has recently had, but L-theanine has more studies looking at it. So that's why it has a little bit more attention, L-theanine does. However, if you were to dosage L-theanine with caffeine, it would be a 1-to-1 ratio. So if you have 200 milligrams of caffeine, it'd be like 200 milligrams of L-theanine. another ingredient that you find in pre-workouts and things like fat burners. Really helps with, it's also a neurotransmitter and also plays a role in the acetylcholine chain. I really, really like it. Had you heard of any of those before?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just not huge on using them all, just because...
You start using a lot of things, you don't want to become dependent on it.
I just don't want to be mixing things that may not have a lot of data out there on that mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about. But it's something like theanine with more data out there on it.
Yeah, theanine is, out of the ones I said, I think theanine and ashwagandha are probably the two that I would recommend the most. L-tyrosine, maybe if you just have a little bit of money you want to put towards it, and then theacrine. I think theacrine has pretty good information on it. Ashwagandha, I keep in a daily routine, but then again, I take it in a supplemental form that comes in my multivitamin, so it's a little bit easier. I don't think I have anything else that I would like to go over as far as supplemental form to like aid with caffeine. So the fact that caffeine has a little bit more of an effect on just our adrenal system in general, caffeine does have a major effect on metabolism and nutrients. So it briefly raises our metabolic rate just a little bit, just acutely. So in about an hour to 2 hour period, if someone took a 200 milligram dose of caffeine, we see a boost of about 60 calories, so about 100 calories in those, you know, hour to 2 hours, which if you had a spike of 200 milligrams 2 to 3 times per day, can actually increase your resting metabolic rate quite a bit in a short time frame.
Right. So I was about to ask if that stimulated thermogenic activity is acute or chronic, or chronic in its effects.
It's acute. It's not, well, I mean, it's chronic if it's over time,
right?
Over and over and over.
Yeah. So if you're taking it in these acute doses, 200 milligrams
mm-hmm.
twice daily,
yeah.
then you're going to see these effects. But then if you're chronically, you know, taking in these doses, you're not going to see these effects, right?
Yeah.
Because your body is becoming much more used to that caffeine intake.
Yeah. And it's mainly because of the effect on the adrenocorticotropic hormone. I had to look up that up before
this. Good word. Forgot about that one.
I know. Just because that's the main adrenal gland or hormone that plays a role in metabolism in macronutrient and minerals like electrolytes.
Right.
I got nothing else as far as caffeine. Do you have anything else that you'd like to touch on?
Not as far as caffeine goes, just be careful with how much everybody's taking in. I mean, I know we all love our cup of coffee in the morning. That cup of coffee, generally, like we talked about, Joel and I talked
coffee.
About, do what?
Love my coffee.
Yeah. Well, Joel and I talked about before the podcast, like a cup of coffee that you get, it's going to be about 50 to 60 milligrams of caffeine,
mm-hmm.
which that's an okay dose to start your morning. We talked earlier about the toxicity being close to two grams.
Extremely high.
Yeah.
It's very,
so
very hard to get there.
You'd have to have 10 cups of coffee.
More than that.
20?
Close to 20 grams. 20 cups.
Right. So, honestly, safely, the FDA said 4 to 5 cups a day is what you can have safely.
Yeah.
Now, I don't recommend that. That's not sustainable. Something you can do over time.
Yeah.
Your body's going to get used to that, and you're not going to see the effects, and you're just going to be requiring more and more. That defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
Cycle. What I do with my pre-workout. And
yeah, I was about to say, don't think that we have negative thoughts towards caffeine.
No.
We love caffeine.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, I take a pre-workout almost every time before I work out.
Yeah, we're about to go kill a workout, and I'm going to be taking 300 meds for sure.
I cycle off of it for a week, week and a half, just to let my body reset.
That's probably every 4 months-ish for me.
I'm a little more often than that. I'll do 3 weeks on my pre-workout.
I'm a little bit of a stim junkie, though, so.
Yeah. I can get by without it, generally. I just have to focus a little bit more.
I hate it when I'm cycling off caffeine.
I know.
But I do love my caffeine.
Yes. Yeah, we do. It's found in everything.
So we were putting some information out there for you guys. There's a lot of benefits to caffeine, and there's a little bit of a negative side effect to caffeine over time. Kind of take away with what you want. Be careful with caffeine. Only if you're taking ridiculously high amounts. Oh, and for adolescents, like young athletes, I think it's really, really common for, I'll touch that on that just because, you know, growing up playing baseball was really, really common to just have a monster before
going and playing. Yes, right.
And someone that is growing, like age 12 to 18-ish, caffeine is much more dangerous just because of its play on things like blood pressure and the heart.
Right.
You know, it does increase things like heart rhythms.
Heartbeats. It's got a pretty pretty active role in the cardiovascular system.
Yeah, if someone is growing and their heart is growing, we don't want to be messing with that too much. So making sure that we're staying at a minimal amount of caffeine with someone that is growing. That's what I tell people. You know, caffeine is nothing scary after someone has reached a point in their life to where they're no longer growing. And I say, hey, you can actually up your dose quite a bit at that point just because you're not having anything like tissue adaptations in your heart. So if you have a young athlete or a young kid that's trying to improve performance or had, you know, little sleep last night just because he was hanging out with buddies, try to be mindful of how much caffeine.
Slow the roll of the caffeine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of my ending, though. That kind of like
good advice. At the very end. Good advice. I'm sure people out there will take it.
Yeah. You know, we have some things going on behind the scenes, and I think we've said that probably the last three or four podcasts, but I feel like we're actually starting to act on our thoughts more.
Yeah, things are coming to fruition.
So some cool stuff's going to be coming out. Stay tuned. You know, if you have any questions, shoot us a DM, email us. If you know Garrett or I personally, just shoot us a text. If you have something as far as like a topic for a podcast, I think next time I'd like to go back to show prep part two, just to go back to that. I know I'm helping a few people actually prep because there are some shows coming up in the summer. If you like some more information on show prep or there are some aspects of prep that you want to know, just shoot us a text or contact us.
And just anything, period, pertains to any of our podcasts, whether it be macros, caffeine, like Joel said, show prep. Whatever it is, shoot us a question.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask questions.
Suggestions for future podcasts. We'd love to do Q&As. Reach out to us.
If you know anyone that would maybe be like a good person to have on the podcast.
Yeah, but we're hoping within the next little bit to have some guests on. Hopefully spice it up a little bit. Y'all can listen to somebody else talk.
Yeah, I know. Garrett and I are like, you really enjoy listening to us talk, I know.
I'm tired of hearing myself talk.
Same, man. I don't like editing these podcasts and listening to my voice over and over.
No, it's miserable.
It really is. All right, guys. I got nothing else for y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Garrett, you got anything for him?
Nope. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys. But I just want a flat line. I just want a flat line. Maybe this is all my fault. But I just want a flat line. I just want a flat line. Maybe we going too far.